everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And this is a lot of fun, a tradition that we do every year where we rank the movies that we have talked about on Friendship. So basically the movies that Elisa and I have talked about through the year, we rank. And this year we actually have 17 movies that we're ranking because we not only covered three movies at Christmas, but we also had our adventure episode that we did where we talked about four movies. So we've got a lot here. And this is tough because we have a mixture of Hollywood films and made for TV movies, which is always hard.
Yeah.
You know,
or easy. Like
different budgets, different, like it just feels almost unfair to like compare. Compare them. It's just
we'll do it anyway.
We like to punish ourselves.
So. And also, this is a real test in memory and recall.
Yes. I don't think my ranking will surprise many, because most people know how much I love most of these movies. But yeah, we have 17 movies and
and I'm about to go rogue.
yeah, this will be good. But I hope you had a good holiday season.
I did. How about you? Mine was quiet. I love quiet holidays.
Well, we celebrated our Christmas holiday on Christmas Eve. So the actual Christmas day was pretty relaxed. It was kind of crazy for my parents, because a friend of theirs in Colorado is a truck driver, and he actually put on the chains of his semi, and I guess it was took so long that he actually got frostbite. So my parents had to go up to Colorado to help their friend. So they were gone on Christmas Day. So yeah, I just spent Christmas like eating the stocking candy and relaxing. So it was pretty good. But had some interesting movies that we talked about through the year. And except for me, it's really hard comparing, particularly the adventure movies, because you've got like a classic like The African Queen or Romancing the Stone. How do you compare those to like nothing easy budget TV movies? It's hard for me. So we'll see.
I'm all easy.
But we'll have a link to the Letterboxd list. So if you want to share your own ranking with us, please do. We'd love to hear where you would put things or what you liked. And so let's dive in. Let's talk about it. We've got 17 movies. So I'd be surprised if we don't have the same one at 17.
Yeah. The terrible Fabled Holiday. Yeah. Oh my God. I still have nightmares about it.
I mean, it is a terrible movie, but it was a pretty fun episode. We cracked ourselves up.
I mean, it was something else.
It's just like, can they leave? That's the big question. I think they're stuck there for all time.
I didn't have any idea what was happening until about an hour and 45 minutes into the movie. Yeah. I was just like, I got a college degree. I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, you have a doctorate.
I do. So I have 3 degrees. And I was like, I have no clue. I am tapped out on this one. So yeah, like, that rounds out at the very, very, very bottom.
Well, like her behavior was just strange. Like she was had all these like bows in her hair, and she was dressing like a child.
Maybe we were not the audience for this movie.
No, I just didn't understand. It felt like that. I think her name was Mildred, was gonna like kill everybody at any moment.
Maybe if we gave that script to Lifetime, it would turn out to be something real special.
Yeah, it was like Hallmark of Horror, but like for real, not even just like it was a horror movie. I don't think they can leave that town. I think they're stuck there for the rest of their
terrifying
lives.
Absolutely terrifying.
And like, I mean, because they try to leave at one point and then the guy ends up getting a heart attack. That was a very fun episode.
You can leave, but this guy's going to die first.
Yeah. And Brooke D'Orsay and Ryan Pavey had like zero chemistry.
Yeah.
But it's not really their fault. It was just like a bizarre
movie. The whole time I was like, what?
I like whimsy, and I like you know, Santa movies and things like that, but this was just so strange. I did not understand the rules of this town, this village.
Yeah, and if you have to have a whole explanation, then it's not.
Yeah.
It should be figured out from what you've created. And if you can't do that, then I'm out.
Yeah, because it was like a book that was given to her by her dad. And it was her dad's way of like communicating with her beyond the grave. But.
No.
So did the dad want her with this guy? And why did the town care about her being with this guy? Like, I just didn't really understand.
You're asking the wrong person because, again, Clueless, the sequel.
All right. That's both of our 17s. There's no question. What is your number 16?
You're going to be mad at me.
Uh-huh.
With all the movies we watched, I put The African Queen here.
Really?
If I'm going to watch, what's his face?
Humphrey Bogart?
Yes, thank you. I'd rather watch The Maltese Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of an adventure heisty sort of movie. Yeah, I didn't know what to expect with it, but I still was like, there's better adventure movies, and I'd rather watch some other Humphrey Bogart movies. So feel free to be a little mad.
I wouldn't say that it's a classic. The Maltese Falcon is adventure heisty. Maltese Falcon is a crime noir story.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd rather watch that.
Yeah, I mean, it's about, it's like a detective story. But
yeah,
but I don't know. I actually really do enjoy that one. You see, to me, it's a hard one to rank because it is classic. So it does have some like pitfalls of a classic film with like the way the natives are depicted and treated and things like that. But I think they have terrific chemistry. I really enjoy them together. And by the end of the journey, I really love when they get married. And I think that's a great scene.
Yeah.
And I now, love
and the Catherine thing Hepburn. Is, I love classic movies. There's plenty I do enjoy. That was one I did not. Maybe I need to watch it a second time to really get into it. But
nope. Well, and he's kind of, he's uncouth and slovenly at the beginning, but he does kind of come around. I can understand why it would be, but I do have it pretty high just because, I don't know, it's a classic. I have a hard time. I have a really hard time ranking it. I do.
Yeah.
But I think the acting's really good and it's very well made. And, you know, John Huston, he's classic filmmaker. And so I understand. I just have a hard time ranking it low. All right. Well,
what was your 16?
I have 16. I have Undercover Holiday.
Because
there were like little nitpicky things I didn't like. I didn't like the way they dressed her. I didn't like the sound mix, the way they made her sound. She's supposed to be a famous singer and they made her sound bad. I didn't think the chemistry was very good between the two of them. But there were some fun scenes, like when they were making tamales or like scenes with her family. And I liked her and her friend. That relationship was pretty good. I didn't think they did a very good job with red herrings. It was pretty obvious who the stalker guy was from the beginning. Yeah. But it was passable.
Yeah, I have that ranked fairly low. There's one other movie I hated more.
We'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast to celebrate our sponsor of this episode, and that is the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies Podcast?
Do you want an inside scoop into what happens on the podcast?
Do you want early access to episodes and loads of cool perks?
Now is the time to become a patron of Hallmarkies Podcast.
By becoming a patron, you get to access our patron Facebook group.
You can request episodes or even be a guest on the podcast.
And most importantly, any patron can join our monthly movie watch-alongs with stars like Paul Campbell, Natalie Hall, and more.
It's as low as $2 a month to join in and become a special part of the Hallmarkies family.
Please consider, and we will love you forever.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
Yeah, and it was disappointing because I do love the writer, and I Noemi is so fun. I've liked Stephen Huszar and other things. All these ingredients were good. I just didn't quite come together.
Yeah.
They also had that T-Mobile ad spot that was hilarious. This talent show is sponsored by T-Mobile. That was funny.
Terrible.
All right. Well, what do you have at 15?
That was African. Oh, no, excuse me. Mismatched.
Okay.
I hated that movie. And I mean that in the nicest possible way.
Yes.
That I can say that.
I have it at 14.
Hey, but, not bad.
But
that's where I have Undercover Holiday.
Yeah. So, but I actually do enjoy it. So that's like a fun 14. I like that you have one Hallmark movie that's where they're both kind of sassy and like kind of pointing out the ridiculousness of these, like, of this whole wedding industry. And so to me, I enjoyed it and I thought it was pretty good, like Enemies to Lovers. But I obviously it does have its flaws as well, but I still enjoyed it. 15 for me is Love at First Bark. This is the one that we didn't like so much that we decided to watch a different movie.
I feel like Walking the Dog was the one that we didn't like.
No, it was Love at First Bark.
Okay, I'm going to be Googling while we talk. I swear.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like the dogs stole both of the movies.
Yeah. No, because the Walking the Dog is about the attorney who's trying to
the
bike lane.
Yep. Oh, God.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Walking the Dog was the one we didn't like.
And the the dogs are in love. And Love at First Bark. That's the one
that we, you know, where do you have Walking the Dog?
So I have Love at First Bark at 15.
So you liked Walking the Dog better?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We both did.
I didn't like the biking and the rival lawyers.
Well, remember there was like nothing that happens in Love at First Bark. There was like nothing.
Oh yeah, but she did create the puppery, the nursery.
Yeah.
Okay, so these two, where I have them ranked, whatever one I liked better, I'm not quite sure. Again, a test of memory.
Yeah, this one was rough, and they have no chemistry, and Walking Dog, I have higher. So
gotcha.
Yeah. Let's see. So what did you have at four? You have Undercover Holiday at 14, right?
Yes, that's correct. Okay.
So what do you have at 13?
Well, now I'm not sure. Wait, which one didn't I like? Love at First Bark.
Love at First Bark was the one you didn't like.
Okay, I have Love at First Spark. Okay.
It's like nothing happens in that movie.
The dogs are great, though.
Yes, the dogs are great. 13, I have Pearl in Paradise. That's, it's fun. It's an adventure. Yeah. I like them together. They're good. They have good chemistry. The whole thing that they end up putting back the pearl, the way they find it, that it's supposed to be this, like, nobody's ever found it before. It seemed like the kind of thing that, like, had been geocached and, like, we're finding
out. Seriously, but, don't think anyone's ever found it before.
But it's fun, something different for Hallmark. I enjoyed rewatching it. So I have, it at 13. What do you have at 13?
Walking the dog.
Okay, yeah, I have Walking the Dog at 12. Okay. Yeah, this is the one where she's, like, engaged to Peter Benson's character, who's a vet. And so she ends up fostering this dog. And you know, the minute she sees that dog, she's not, it's going to be a foster fail. There's no question. Yeah. And then she's up against this lawyer who doesn't want the bike lane. But as they get to know each other, they have fun together. And
I can't believe you made me watch these. No, I'm just teasing.
It was better than Love at First Spark.
Well, I had them right next to each other because I honestly was like, I don't know.
So what did you have at 12?
At 12, I had Pearls in Paradise.
Okay, so we're pretty close, actually, on all of these.
Yeah.
All right, what'd you have at 11?
You're not going to be happy. Christmas Promise.
Okay.
Sad movie.
It is sad. It's sad.
It was too sad for me.
Too sad. That's fair.
I guess when I come to Hallmark, I don't want too much of that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is Movies and Mysteries, so it's the other channel. So I always have to warn you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next time be like, this is the same channel that did The Christmas Promise.
Yeah.
And what was the other Miracle. Super sad one? About angels or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The babies or something.
Yeah, no. Mrs. Miracle. Oh my God. With the infertility one.
Yeah. I was not ready for that.
At number 11, I have Nim's Island. I think it's pretty fun. I like Jodie Foster as this nervous writer, and Gerard Butler is having a blast playing this playing Abigail Breslin's dad and this, like, rogue guy adventurer. I think it's underrated. I think more people should watch it. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
I was glad to see it for the first time, and that's the next one I have. Mm-hmm.
You have it at 10?
Yes.
Okay. Well, at 10, I have Just My Type.
Ooh.
Cute movie. Reclusive writer and the reporter who won't leave him alone. But yeah, it was a good movie to one of the last ones we got before COVID started.
Yeah.
It feels kind of COVID-y.
Because
they're all, stuck in these cabins and everything. And but it's fun. I like Bethany Joy and Brett Dalton. They had pretty good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So all right. Well, what do you have at 9?
I have Christmas on Fifth Avenue.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this one so much.
This is where it starts to get hard, though. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I think they have such great chemistry, and the way the relationship builds is very
authentic.
I really
liked it.
Yeah, it's
there's just
really
there's
good.
Just some real good ones coming up. You know, it's harder.
Number 9 for me is Sliding Doors. Obviously, this is a feature film, so it's a little harder. But I think that especially short hair Gwyneth is that storyline is much more pleasant than long hair Gwyneth.
Short hair versus long hair, Gwyneth?
Because in short haired Gwyneth, she like starts her own place and she meets a cute guy, Simon, yeah. I think his name is. And but long hair is still with the annoying guy.
Yeah, no, gross. Yeah. Long hair. Chop the hair off, get rid of them.
And Jean Triplehorn is so annoying. And Triplehorn in the movie as the other woman. She's so terrible and shrill and just awful. I hate her.
I think it's an interesting movie though. And I have that next on my list. So since we're talking about it, I think it's an interesting movie. I think it's interesting to think like the what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always fascinated. Like there's also, which is nowhere near our hallmark, like the butterfly effect. And then there was a Netflix movie recently that had similar vibes.
There was one on Hallmark this season called The Tale of Two Christmases, which wasn't that great, but the same kind of ideas of sort of your choices, little choices, and you fall them on the different path.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to think that, you know, your whole life might not change in most of the decisions that you make, but there are some decisions where your life does change because of it. And I think that's really interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. I would say in general, I think it's underrated as a rom-com.
Yes.
It's not perfect, but I think it's pretty good.
I need to rewatch it actually, because I think I'm going to show a clip in my relationships class that I'm teaching this semester.
Welcome to the Pilot Podcast. My name is BJ.
And my name is Me Too. And we promise this promo is worth it, so please don't skip ahead.
We're two judgy friends who put our judgmental skills to work for you. We review the pilot episodes of new and popular shows and shows that our listeners request to answer your question, should I watch this?
Look, a lot of us are spending a lot more time at home, and yes, we should be reading and trying new projects and enriching ourselves, but does anything beat binging a great show?
Let us take the guesswork out of deciding what your next show will be. Tune in to The Pilot Podcast at thepilotpodcast.com.
Number 8 for me is Love on Iceland, which we just talked about.
That's my next one. We are like nearly.
Charlie
African
is.
African Queen is going to throw me off though.
Yeah. Charlie is a bit much, but our classic Hallmark photographer. And, but I really liked the friend spirit. I really liked that they actually showcased Iceland. You really feel like you went on a tour of all the different traditions and places, and that's really fun. And I love Patty Murin as the best friend. She's so good.
I knew it was gonna be good as soon as the B-52s played. I was like, they even have travel themed music.
And it's about a podcaster, of course I'm gonna like it, right?
Except that I'm pretty sure she stole my podcast idea, but that's fine. Mine's friendship though.
All right, so that was your number 8.
That was my number 7.
Okay, what was your 8?
Christmas on Fifth Avenue. My numbers mixed up?
No, I just remembered wrong. Okay, number 7 for me is A Big Fat Family Christmas.
Oh,
really enjoyed this one. I love Tia Carrera. She was hilarious as the mom. She was really funny, and you really felt for her when she loses that money. And I feel like all of us have been in a position where we've lost something and you feel so horrible. And, and so that definitely rang true. Another photographer, we got more photographer.
And but this one did have probably a favorite Instagram filter, unlike Charlie from Love on Iceland.
Yeah, his favorite filter is, what is it, like?
Something an instinct.
Oh
my God, eye roll.
I loved her and her brother in this. I thought that was really well done. And I liked the pairing. I think they were nice. It's like a little bit of kind of a research movie, but which usually isn't my favorite. And then the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, this is boring. But for whatever reason, I gave it a second chance and it worked for me the second time. And I think it's a sweet little movie.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It's going to be higher on my list.
Okay, very good. And so what is your number 6?
Nim's Island. I love adventure movies.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
And it was the first time I saw it, so I was kind of excited about seeing it, unlike the African Queen, which I ranked lower than Nim's Island.
Yeah, I really like Nim's Island. I think it's underrated too. I don't think people know about it or talk about it. I think it's a really fun family adventure.
I wasn't the right age. So there are sometimes I think, like I would go see Disney movies as adults and things like that. But like Nim's Island, based on when it came out, I would have been a little bit too much of a full-fledged adult to probably go specifically seek it out.
Yeah, because it was 2008. So I was 27.
I mean, I was 30. Yeah. I wasn't graduate school working on a dissertation. I wasn't hey, let me go check out Nim's Island. But I should have. I used to go see movies to take breaks from my dissertation. So when I had writer's block or I just was exhausted or crying. Well, or whatever, I just feel like I would go to the movies.
I feel like it's one of those movies in general that just like went under the radar that like people don't know about. People didn't see it. Yeah, people should check it out. My number six is The Christmas Promise. I really love the writing in this movie. I think it's really strong. I love the kiss scene where I was like, is that a question? Or
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. This is so good.
I forgot that that was that movie.
So good. And I love their chemistry. And I think she managed to have chemistry with both Giles and Dylan. Which was risky, like showing her with the fiance for so long at the beginning was very risky because if she has more chemistry with him than with the other lead, then it's going to cause a problem. But she didn't, she had chemistry with both. I think that, the friendship group is really fun in this movie, even if, Karen Holness's character does take win everything.
Yeah, that was cute. I'm always about the fun friendship scene. Yeah. So yes, absolutely.
And you have like real moments where they're supporting her. And then you have her sister, and her relationship to her sister was really good. Her sister bringing her over like a million casseroles was fun. Her grandfather, Patrick Duffy, that was good. And he starts to date. I just think it's a really good script. I really enjoy it. So it's six for me.
Need to give me more warning.
Yeah, I will. All right. What's your number five?
Just My Type. COVID-y one.
Good.
I thought that was cute. I liked it.
Very good. Well, you have given me confidence. I changed just as we're talking. I changed my ranking. I'm gonna have African Queen at five. Ooh. I do really like it. I think it's really good. I think that they have great chemistry. I think their romance is really good. The ending when they blow up the ship is exciting. How they get married, I think it's really fun.
I don't remember them getting married
on the boat with everything going. They're like, you're a captain, you can marry us.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay.
It's really fun.
I don't even remember.
It's just hard for me to rank this because it is a classic. And it, so many movies that came after it were influenced by it. But anyway, that's where I'm gonna have it at fifth place. Mm-hmm. You gave me confidence.
I'm glad I could help.
What's your number five?
My number five is Just My Type, but my number four is A Big Fat Family Christmas. I really liked that movie. Fun. I thought it was enjoyable. I liked family, friends, romance, the interesting story, the interesting conflict, and finally getting a little bit more diversity in there too, which I appreciate. I think all voices and stories should be heard, and so I appreciate that, and I just thought it was fun.
Yeah, it's a good one. All right, my number four is See You Next Christmas.
What?
Yes, I love this movie. They have such great chemistry. I feel like I championed this movie all year last year. And Christine Weatherup, the director, she's been on the show a couple times. Love her.
I am shocked.
You're shocked. That's a good ranking. Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just fun to see every year that the party goes on and how the characters evolve, how it's written. I feel like I kind of discovered this movie. I got you get so many emails, and most of the time they're, as a critic, they're terrible. A lot of these indie, films and stuff. But this one, obviously being Christmas related, it stuck out. And I said, hey, I'd like to get a screener. I'd like to watch it. And I watched it, and obviously it has a low budget, but most of it is shot in just a couple rooms, but they did a good job with what they had. And I really liked all the different characters, like the crazy cookie ladies, hilarious. I really like not only the main couple, but Christine and her husband, and their relationship as it evolves is really good. It's a really fun movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'm at 4.
Agreed, what you, but higher.
Yeah. What do you have it for?
4 was a big fat Christmas, a fat family Christmas. My number 3 is Ghosts of Christmas Past.
That's also my number 3.
Love it's so Ghosts good. Of Christmas Past. I love that they brought in ghosting. I guess my top 3 really speaks to me as someone who studies relationships.
Yeah.
And I just love to see more current concerns in relationships coming into play. So the idea of ghosting and I don't know. I thought it was a lot of fun. And instead of a photography, she designed video games. So yeah, that which was exciting. Good.
Yeah. I really, again, I felt like I championed this movie. I had both of the leads on the podcast. I had the writer on the podcast, because I felt like it was very underrated. That year on Lifetime, they were trying to do a movie every single day in December. And so this was one that they aired on a Tuesday night. So it didn't get a weekend release. And so people didn't know about it. It didn't get any viewership hardly at all because it was on this weird night. And I thought it was the best thing they made that year. I still think it's the best. It's one of the best Lifetime movies, period. And I think not only do they have great chemistry, but it's such a creative idea to have this, that she's working with all these people that she's ghosted, and not knowing the whole time that he was the big person that she ghosted most of all. He's looking for a life. And there were so many scenes. Yeah. When he puts his phone in the sink because he doesn't want it to ring. That's such a funny scene.
I just like to pay for a whole new $1,000 phone rather than.
And I absolutely love the ending. It's so good. And it's just a clever idea for a story, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Are you looking for that perfect gift for the postable, hardy, or Hallmarkie in your life?
What about getting that t-shirt or hoodie that will help you stand out at your next holiday party?
Now is the time to check out the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Full of festive designs by artists like Jessica Miller, Carrie from Hallmark Comics, and more.
You can even have more than just shirts, but totes, cell phone cases, notebooks, mugs, and more.
And it isn't just Hallmark. We have designs for Anna Green Gables, Man from Snowy River, The Nanny, and more.
Every purchase at the merch store goes to help support the podcast and allows us to make the great content you know and love.
There are frequent sales, so go to tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies or see the link in the description.
That's tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies.
Underrated. If people haven't seen it, watch it. It's really good.
Yeah. It makes me want to watch it again.
Yes. And just even little things. I loved her sweaters.
Yes. She was so fun. That's the other thing I think is something very skilled in whoever created it. I wanted to be friends with her. You know what I mean? Yes. And I think that isn't always the case.
And having a fortune teller at the work party was really clever.
Yeah.
A clever setup for the movie. And then having her work with all these people that she's ghosted. And I think that we have to give a lot of credit to both Dan Jeannat and Annie Clark, because I think that Annie's character could have been really unlikable in the wrong hands because she's ghosted all these people and like,
she's kind of terrible.
Yeah. She's pretty tough on him too. Like she's very critical of his work ethic and everything. But she's a very likable actress. And I think her acting choices really went a long way to making the character work.
Yeah.
And you see her improve her relationship with her mother, with other people in her life. And she grows. She's a dynamic character.
Yeah.
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 It's good stuff. Really, it's underrated. Really is.
Good stuff. Maybe well, we should watch it again.
Yes. Well, we had the writer on for one of our patron watch alongs, which was super fun.
So I think that's when school started and I missed it.
Yeah. But it was Shannon Ladmer's the writer's name. She is great. I will watch anything that she writes.
Yes. Does she have any good stuff that we haven't watched yet? Just as maybe future on Friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She had one called The 6 Degrees of Santa, which has Catherine Davis, who's in Christmas on Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think you'd like that one. Yeah. And maybe we'll do that one for on Friendship. It's cute.
Yes.
Well, what's your number two?
Okay. My number two is probably the first romance movie I ever saw, and that is Romancing the Stone. Mm-hmm. And my parents took me to see it in the theater, even though it's rated R.
Yeah.
My parents always talked to me about what was happening on screen. But this is one that it's hard to go to ranking because it is a formative memory movie. Yeah. And me and my family spent a lot of times when we were younger going to see movies. And so the experience of going to the theater, and I still watch this several times a year. Yeah. There's so many great lines. Oh shit, the Doobie Brothers broke up. Right? Like that's something my dad still says. And you know, there's just so many good, it's a great story. It's very fun and exciting.
Yeah.
I love Michael Douglas. I love Kathleen Turner, and Danny DeVito's funny in it. So this one for me had to be ranked high. It's like, but it's also unfair to other movies because of a formative memory.
Yeah. I think it is hard because it's hard to compare like these made for TV movies to like it's a feature film.
We're making it
budget, you know, and everything. But yeah, I have that's my number one spot, spoiler alert, because it's so good. It's one of the great Hollywood
rom-coms. I'm so surprised that you would have that as number one.
Really funny, yeah. Really romantic, very sarcastic, great leads.
Yeah.
It's just one of the greats. I mean,
I might have to watch it tonight.
Yeah, and it's so sad how far Robert Zemeckis has fallen. I mean, when I think about his Pinocchio movie this year, it makes me sad inside.
Didn't it win a Golden Globe?
It was so bad. No, that's the other Pinocchio movie. Okay. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio
movie.
Robert Zemeckis' Pinocchio movie for Disney was absolutely atrocious.
I remember you posting about it on Twitter.
One of the worst movies I have ever seen, and I mean it was just absolutely terrible. But the one with Guillermo del Toro Pinocchio is great. It's absolutely great. So thank goodness we had that to wash that terrible terrible Disney version. I mean, it's just so sad. Robert Zemeckis is one of those directors that has just not flourished in the digital age. Whether there's like Chris Columbus and Robert Zemeckis and Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
There's just like this group of sort of 80s, 90s directors who Tim Burton.
It's hard to maintain, but Tim Burton just directed Wednesday. So
yeah. But as far as movies,
that's true. Oof. Yeah, that's TV. Sorry.
Yeah, it's been bad. It's been bad with Tim Burton for a long time. It's good to go back to this movies like this, Romancing the Stone, and remember Robert Zemeckis could make amazing movies like Roger Rabbit, Romancing the Stone, Forrest Gump, and of course, Back to the Future.
I love Back to the Future. I do not like Forrest Gump. That's a story for another time. Maybe we could do an on friendship on it and make me watch it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like my favorite movie, but it's a lot better than what he's been making lately. I can tell you that.
Yeah. But Back to the Future is also one of my, there's like 10 movies that I watch a lot. My number one, this might surprise you, my number one watch movie that I watch every year, like the most, is Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, really?
I watched it twice this week.
That's interesting because I watched it for my blind spot. I didn't care for it.
I love it. Oh my goodness. The soundtrack is amazing. I can't wait to get the album.
So far in my blind spot project, most of the 80s comedies I have not been a big fan of. I didn't love Lethal Weapon either.
I
didn't love that.
It's classic of that time, but it's fine.
Ghostbusters, but I do think it's overrated. And like people saying it's one of the great comedies ever made, I'm like, eh.
It's a formative movie for me.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah,
but it's not for me.
Another formative memory.
Yeah, it's one I didn't watch it until I was older.
Yeah,
and it's fine. I don't hate it, but I just don't think it's like one of the greats.
During Ghostbusters, I'll just tell you this little story before I tell you my number one movie. So I was 6, I think, when Ghostbusters came out, and we went to go see it as a family, and there were only 4 seats in a row, so I had to sit on my dad's lap, and he was holding the popcorn and me, and at the very beginning, when the librarian ghost comes out and is like, "Wah!" right? So to this day, we still make jokes about whose fault it was. Was he scared or was I scared? Who dropped the popcorn? I mean, he probably said that to me like 2 weeks ago. Like, it was your fault that the popcorn fell during Ghostbusters.
So yeah.
That'll always be a favorite.
The other thing too, is that I just did not grow up watching movies with my parents hardly at all. I mean, at least my dad, a little bit more my mom, but still neither of them are movie people. So I don't have a lot of formative movies in that way, but then most of my formative movies are movies I watch with my friends. Like my big movies would be The Little Mermaid, and we should just do an episode on this. This would be fun. Our formative movies.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. My formative movies, Little Mermaid, Home Alone, Clueless. I mean, it's not a movie, but Les Mis was also, as far as a Broadway musical, was very formative for me.
Oh my God. I am so excited. Can we do formative movies? Oh my gosh. Yeah. A top five formative movies discussion.
When I was in college, Breakfast at Tiffany's was very like impactful as far as like a classic movie that I loved.
I'm so excited.
But my number two is Christmas on Fifth Avenue. I think this is one of the best, if not, it would be in my argument of the best TV Christmas movie that I've seen that I've covered on this show. Not just on friendship, just anything. I absolutely love it. I love the script, the way that their relation, I love the novel that it's based on, Miracle on Fifth Avenue. It's called Sarah Morgan. I think she's a great writer. It is steamier though than the movie. So, but the back and forth between, it's forced proximity between these two people, I think is so great. I absolutely love both the leads. I think they have amazing chemistry. The way their relationship builds over time, I totally buy. I love like so many key iconic scenes, like when they go to the snowball when he admits to his mom that he's in love with her. I'm madly in love with her. Taking pictures with this little doggy and everything, and he's like, how can I be madly in love with this woman? little scenes like when he makes grilled cheese for her, and I just love this movie. I think it is so good. It was so good.
I think I'm gonna have to rewatch it.
Well, I mean, other people don't like it as much as I do, and that's fine. But for me, I just think that they have incredible chemistry. I love the writing, and they do get together pretty quick, but I bought their chemistry so much that I was fine with him proposing at the end. And I love the way he proposes when he's like, go in there, pick out your ring, anything you have, I want you to be with you forever. So good. And, and just the way they evolve, like his writing and him getting over his grief and her helping him with that. I think it's great. And I just love it. I think it's so good.
I still can't believe you have Romancing the Stone at number two.
I have it at one.
That's yeah, what I mean. I mean, still can't believe that.
It's really hard to compare. Like, originally I had The African Queen at two because it is such a classic and it's so, there's so many iconic scenes and it's such, to me, great chemistry. But I do love, I think the writing in Ghosts of Christmas Past is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I just love the whole concept of that movie and I love the execution. Yeah. And I love See You Next Christmas. I mean, I was really giving you the cream of the crop this year.
Yeah. See You Next Christmas was my number one.
Yeah.
It's
so good.
That is a formative memory. And maybe I just was so excited about it that I can't decrease my feelings around that movie, but I absolutely adored it from beginning to end. And it felt, yeah, true relational film. Like, where can I get access? Because I want to show it in my class.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's now on Peacock. It's so exciting. Yes.
Note to self. Maybe instead of watching Beverly Hills Cop twice in a week, I'll add in See You Next Christmas.
It makes me think I must have missed something with Beverly Hills Cop. So I'll have to send you my review. See what you think.
And I'll be like.
Outraged. Yeah. Outrage. But yeah, there were a lot of, like, I watched the Troop Beverly Hills.
I love Troop Beverly Hills.
I didn't care for it. I didn't like it. I didn't think it was funny. I don't know. I didn't get it.
That's one of my 10 movies that I watch all the time. Oh my God. I can't wait to do formative movies with you. It'll be
A lot of classic comedies that I think you almost have to be that you, like, you had to grow up with them, you had to watch them, and they're hard if you don't have that kind of experience. I'm sure a lot of people have that with Home Alone, which Home Alone was a movie I watched with my grandparents. It was the first comedy that I ever really loved. And then other people, they watch it as adults or whatever, and they're like, it's very violent. Like, why did you like this? I'm like, I don't know.
Because it was amazing. It's what the French call les accompagnants.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines ever.
To each their own, as they say. but yeah, so this was a very diverse, interesting list. And for the most part, I enjoy almost, except for the bottom three were the only three that I would give negative reviews to. Everything else I like.
Mismatch.
Yeah. I like Mismatch. But it is low. It is low. So very good. We did it. We ranked the movies. Well, let us know what you think.
But here also, Rachel, you said you brought me the cream of the crop that really sets the standards for 2023.
I know. It's true. So if you have any suggestions for movies that we can talk about for On Friendship, let us know in the comments. We would love to hear your thoughts. And Lisa, where can people find you?
Yes. Best Forevers is still on hiatus, but it'll be coming back soon. So until then, you can find me at Friends with Elisa on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and it's Friends W Elisa on Twitter.
You can find me at Rachel's Reviews all over social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So you can find me ranting about the Robert Zemeckis Pinocchio on my Twitter, social media. So check that out. And we are back on Facebook.
Yes.
Homeworkies Podcast back on Facebook. So yay. So follow us there and all of our social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews or Spotify. We really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And if you're watching on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. We also have the Patreon group where you can be part of watch alongs, like we did with Ghosts of Christmas Past and See You Next Christmas. We did watch alongs for both of those. So definitely check that out. And then also we have the merch store, which has tons of fun designs. Mm-hmm. So take a look at that and check that all out. And thanks so much, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Bye.